Welcome to all of you in the room. Welcome to all of you who are watching online, wherever you are, all over the world, whatever day it is. Welcome. We are here on Sunday morning, August 14th, 2022. And let me ask you a question. Is there a specific area or areas in and around your life where, if you are honest, you wish they were different? Maybe you look at your world around you, I wish it was different. Maybe it's closer to home, I wish it were different. Do you even believe it's possible for change to take place? Or even bigger, do you believe it's possible for a transformation to take place in the different spheres of your life? Do you believe that we collectively, those who call Grace Community Church their local expression of the body of Jesus, do you believe we are called to be transformation agents? But it needs to start here. So I'm in week two of this series, and we're going to walk through the book of the Bible called 1 Peter. It was a letter that Peter, who was one of the OG followers of Jesus, and he, decades on, then becomes this guy who wants to help the gospel spread and churches form. And he writes this letter that goes to multiple churches in different cities in then Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey for the most part. And he writes to them because he wants to help them, but he has this overarching theme of transformation at the heart of it. And specifically, what I believe is two main messages. He's saying, guys, we need to live holy and love others. The rest is detail. We need to live holy and love others. And then he unpacks, what does that look like? And he unpacks specifically how we can get to that posture. I started last week. Please go back to last week's message if you missed it and listen to it all over again. I won't do a recap because I realize when you watch a show on Netflix, you always skip recap. So you'd skip this bit anyway. So I won't go there. Three words to remember from now on. Learn, live, love. A disciple of Jesus is learning, is living, is loving. A disciple of Jesus is learning from Jesus, that's his words. Living with Jesus, that's his ways. Loving like Jesus, that's his mission. That's what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. Peter reemphasizes those core themes. Our mirror that we look at each day should be, what am I learning, how am I living, and am I loving? It's there, and if that would serve us until the grave. So let's dive in today. We're in 1 Peter. I'm going to start chapter 2 today and be in chapter 2 for quite a few weeks. Quite a few weeks. I'll cover at best 3 verses today. Quite a few weeks in that. So in the week, if you want to get yourself ready, sit in chapter 2 until further notice. Okay? Now, we need a bit of chapter 1 to help us. Let me read today's text. And then we're going to go there. And just to help you out here, today's got a little bit of surgery, a bit of digging out some stuff, and then it's got some healing and restoration. So stick with me in the pain revealing section, because there's good news at the end. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So it starts with a rid yourselves, remove. But if I just started there and didn't remind you of chapter 1, that'd just be like a self-help, fix your life, rid yourselves of these things. We need to know the flow, and the flow is this. We receive, we remove, we replace, we repeat. We receive, we remove, we replace, we repeat. That's the pattern that Peter now takes these people on, and it's the pattern of our lives. What is it to receive? If we just try to rid ourselves, get better, try and make ourselves more holy, I'm going to live a very nice life all by ourselves and do all of that. Like, can I just say this? You can't make yourself holy. And if you think you can, there's a problem. But in Christ, holiness is this transformation that he does in us. But we've got to remember the first part, the receive. One of the things that triggered me on this in recent days was I recalled a quote from the great Dallas Willard. If you've met Dallas Willard, amazing. He passed away about 9 years ago. But Dallas Willard wrote this statement at the end of describing the story of the prodigal son that you may be familiar with. So the prodigal son and the guy goes off and squanders the whole thing, and he becomes homeless, and he's living in with pigs, and he stinks, and he's just the lowest of the low. And then he remembers about home. He goes home. Here's the key moment. Dallas Willard says this phrase. He says, the prodigal only takes a bath after he's received a hug. Let me say it again. He comes back unclean, dirty, stuff, junk, regret, shame, unworthy. He comes back, but he doesn't go and get ready for the party. He doesn't go for the feast and have his shower, have his bath, till after he's received the hug from the Father. You need to know that in this walk with Jesus, hug first, bath later. Come to him, then the cleansing. If it's, I need to clean up my act before I come to him, you can't do it. Hug first, then the bath. Beautiful image. And so before I get into the take a bath conversation, which is verse 1, let me remind you of the hug first that Peter described in chapter 1. Few verses, verse 18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So we were hugged and accepted, not with something that is earthly and has a sell-by date and can rot away, but with the imperishable. It wasn't silver or gold. It was the very precious blood of Jesus. And he poured that out before you took a bath. And then verse 23, for you have been born again. All new, all beginning, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Some of you today maybe remember that, oh, I received this, oh, being born again, but you feel like it's died. It's maybe rotted away. Think there needs to be some work there because it's imperishable. It didn't die because you feel that way. You are still in him. We'll come to it today. So, with that in mind, knowing that posture, shall we take a bath? Shall we clean some stuff? Shall we therefore rid yourselves of? Know that for some of you, your word today is receive, and we'll get to that. I'll remind you of that. For some of you, it's the word remove, which is where we're going to go now. Remove. And so there's just some things. To be transformed comes from a posture of knowing who I am and whose I am. It comes from a posture of what he's done for me, not because I did it or deserved it, but by his grace. And then I have to respond to that. And I have the ability to respond to that. I have a responsibility to respond to that. Peter's saying, live holy, love others. In that journey, we've got a clean house. We've got to clean our house. Eugene Peterson even starts his paraphrased translation of this text and says, so, because of all of that in chapter one of what's been done for you, clean your house. Maybe you're now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Give it a clean. Let's get rid of some stuff. Let's make room for some stuff. Let's clean house. And he specifically goes into these set of things, which is not the atypical sin list. It's much more painful than that. Because every single one of us in here can go, yep, either on the giving of it or the receiving of it or both. And I sat in this and I really did some work in this and I went, okay, let's do this. Peter is speaking to a people then, remember, in exile. It's not easy to be a follower of Jesus. The Roman ruler is Nero. There's tons of oppression and persecution and risk, and it's difficult, and there's a bunch of it's not fair and being treated unfairly. Don't forget these people he's writing to were not born God's people. They became followers of Jesus, known as Gentiles. They're learning all this way through. It's not an easy context, but he says to them, guys, your attitude is always displayed by your actions. Your thinking is always put on display by your doing. And the way you feel will always be heard by how you speak. Bring it to ourselves today. Your attitudes, you may think it's hidden, but it's seen in your actions. Your thinking, you may think it's hidden, but it's seen in how you treat other people. And to be honest, the words that are coming from you are coming from your heart, your feelings, for from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a fragrance that we are spreading and sharing by our very lives. And is that fragrance, I talked about it last week, is it a fragrance of, you know, I'm learning from Jesus, I'm living with Jesus, and I'm loving like Jesus. Is that the fragrance that it is like or not? And Peter's saying, guys, sometimes it's not. Here's what we need to do. Should we do a little bit of surgery? Should we do some removal here? There's a bit of a decaying bacteria thing growing we need to get rid of. And here we go. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice. Step one, malice. I'm going to be very high level and generic on these terms just to help because of time. Malice. Malice has got everything to do with intent. My desire towards that person. I'm going to do this because I want them to experience distress, difficulty, pain, suffering. I hope they pay for this. It's a get back. There's a grudge. There's a bit of spite. Malice is this. No, I'm doing this. And you know what? Truth be told, I don't want it to go well for them. That's being easy on it. Truth be told, I do want them to realize what they've done. I do want them to know that they're so wrong. There's a malice. There's something in there. And so, oh, I'm not like that. We have all got very high potential on malice. There's an intent, and it's a hidden intent. But the Lord knows our heart, and he's going, you're going to really struggle in life if that's your heart. Malice, for whatever reason. You know, somebody may have done something to you, and your intent is just a bit, there's some malice got in there. Maybe people have been malicious towards you. Doesn't mean you respond with malice. Next one then goes into deceit. Deceit's interesting. Put it simply, deceit is spinning the truth. Deceit is misrepresenting what absolutely is the truth here. It's not a disregard for truth. It's just misrepresenting it. It's putting a spin on it for personal gain. It's putting a spin on it for how people want to perceive me. It's putting a spin on it. The reality is with deceit, deceit was connected to dishonesty in those days. A lot of deceit and hypocrisy was related to, you know, we're going to give a fresh coat of paint on something that actually is broken. That's deceit. I'm going to sell this in such a way. But let me just put this towards deceit a little bit. Some of us, we deceive and we deceive ourselves. And I want to say this. The fuel that keeps the social media world driving hard is deceit. It's not untruth, it's the spin. I need people to know this. I'm not going to really check it out, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm just going to spin. Other side. Let's take more of an Instagram world. I'm going to project and portray myself in a way that everybody else thinks is extremely impressive. I do want other people to be jealous of me. I do want other people to see my picture-perfect life. That's why you have an app that can erase other people out of your pictures. This is just a, there comes a deceit, but the deceit becomes, and you start to drink that deceit. And it becomes a posture and a normal, almost, we become fake. And it wasn't our intent, but there's a deceit and there's something going on there. And sometimes even intentionally we go, you know what, I'm going to say this and post this and everybody needs to read it and see it. You've not fully done the homework, but there's a bit of deceit if you're honest. I don't care as long as they realize how wrong they are. And most of your friends are in the same team anyway and you're like preaching to the choir. But it's just there, it's subtle. Next it goes into, then it says hypocrisy. Now, we're more familiar with hypocrisy. I mean, hypocrito was this, I wear a mask. Back in the ancient days, there would be these actors and they'd wear a mask. I'm going to pretend to be somebody, but beneath the mask, that's not who I really am. Now, hypocrisy looks like this. And Peter was calling him out and going, guys, be really careful that you don't keep declaring this is what we believe. We believe, we believe, we believe, we believe. This is true. This is our God. Boom, 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 boom. But it smells terrible. What I mean by that is, this is what we believe and this is all that matters, but there's no love. The scriptures say we're to speak the truth in love. And some of you go, yeah, I'm going to speak the truth and hope they get the love. I really do love them. Do you really? Really? Or do you just want to be better than? Do you want to win the argument and lose the person? There's something there in this, the hypocrisy side is, there's a people who believe all of this, but we don't see it. You say this is your Jesus, but we don't see it. And that's the revolution that's been taking place in the Western church. You say all this, but... And that's why Jesus is saying, my words are true, understand them, growing them, but live it out my ways and please love like Jesus. It's not easy, but hypocrisy is, I think hypocrisy is stated in self-ego and self-righteousness. We want to project to other people, really ourselves, so we'll be hypocritical. Envy. This is an interesting one. Envy can be as simple as, it's not fair. Why me? How come they got that and I didn't? Envy can be, I want their life. I want their things. Envy can be a case of really dissatisfaction with yourself that actually you find yourself in really a not good state. I can't go there because of time, but envy is the enemy of my verse for the year. My verse for the year verses is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Envy is the enemy of it. Here, I'll show you why. It says this, be joyful always. Envy will kill that. Be joyful always. Pray continually. You want to kill your prayer life? Have some envy. Give thanks in all circumstances. Envy will kill that. And why is this verse important? Because it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants you to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So envy needs to be rid. Remove it. And we remove it by being joyful always, praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances in Christ Jesus, which I'll get to when we get to this, when we clean our junk drawer out. Oh, junk drawer, here we go. The word malice, people, theologians believe, is a collective term. This list is not exhaustive. Peter was like, this will be enough for you for today. Just these. But I don't know about you, but in my understanding, most of you in your homes have a space, maybe a junk drawer, junk closet. There's a place where stuff just goes that nobody else can see. Like the guests never see it. There's a junk drawer. Now, I think every house kind of has one. Yeah, where does it belong? Ah, it just goes in there. We have this, hide it away, throw it in that closet, in that cupboard, in that junk drawer. And Peter's saying, okay, guys, in your soul, have you got some junk drawers? Clean it. Because sooner or later, it's coming out. It's coming out in how you speak, how you respond. It's coming out. Let's clean it out. So when it comes to the deceit, how are you self-deceiving? What's going on? It's not hurting anybody. Nobody knows. I'm okay with this. That kind of a sin life. You're wrestling with the hypocrisy. Don't get me wrong. The enemy wants to attack you on that, so stay with the whole message. Then the envy. It's not fair. Why me? How come she gets that guy? How come that girl gets that guy? How come that boy doesn't? How come blah, blah, blah? How come they get to get this job, this car? They got a promotion. I didn't get a promotion. How, blah, 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 blah. Fill in the blank. Slander of every kind. Slander of every kind. I'm like, wow. Like, Peter, live holy, love others. Like, this is slander of every kind. Slander is simply this: words with a purpose. What kind of purpose? They are words with the purpose of damaging that person's character, damaging that person's reputation, damaging how other people perceive that person. Damaging that other person so much that other people will not like them as well. Slander has got that. It has a purpose. It's not just, oh, people need to know how bad you are. People need to know how, and fill in the blank. The slander is there. Now, in the Western world, in the celebrity world, in the high profile world, we will sue for slander. But the reality is, for many of us, we are givers and takers of slander that never go to a courtroom. But maybe we are carriers of those wounds. Or maybe with the firing the arrows of it in our time. So I went through all of these this week. And I just stopped. And I went, Lord, I don't want to be somebody who has malice in my heart. Can I get rid of it? I don't want to be somebody who has deceit. Can you help me get rid of it? Because you said. I don't want to live hypocritical. Can I get rid of it? Can you help me? I don't want to be envious. Can we get rid of it? And then I don't want to be slanderous towards other people. Can I get rid of it? And he was just like, sure. So we'll start with you. I went, okay. How does it feel to receive it? How does it feel to receive malice? How does it feel to receive some deceit beyond the end of that? What about how does it feel to receive somebody who has said one thing but done another in hypocrisy? How does it feel when you've got that whole envy deal going on and other people speak? And how does it feel when people talk about you to damage you in some way, shape, or form? How does that feel? Did some of this when I was on sabbatical and just that. And this is what I recognized. There's been seasons in my life where I've been a deliverer of malice. Well, they were malicious to me, so they said that to me. They did that to my family, so don't get mad, get even. Sadly, Jesus didn't say that. He said, love your enemies. Well, that's not fair. Then there was times of like, and you go into a mold, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and then slander. I'm going to say this because I think it's important to say. When it comes to things being said to you or about you for the perception of how other people perceive it, be it to me or to my family, I'm just going to say it and I'm going to go on to something really strong. I'm going to say this. I have received exponentially a huge more amount of slander and attack on me and my character. I've been accused of not being a follower of Jesus. Like that level of slander. More in the last 7 years than the previous 45 years of my life combined. I could sit in that and go, okay. Or I could learn from Jesus, live with Jesus and love like Jesus and go, as a result of which, how have you been operating? Did some self-inventory and it was like, wow. So when it comes to removing this, you're removing at two levels. You're removing when it's been done to you and when you've done it to others. I've got to ask the Lord to heal those scars. Because if I don't, every time they get touched, I shout. Agreed? If I've got a wounded arm and somebody pokes it, I'm not going to go, oh, bless you. I'm not. I'm going to like, get up! You know what I mean? I'm going to react. So I've got to do the internal and external behaviors. So when Peter's saying rid yourselves of this, it means the effect of it and the delivery of it. Because often we give what we've received. Hurting people hurt people. It's just there. And yet if you want to try and do it by yourself, you're not going to do it. You need help. That's why this text doesn't just leave us there with a rid yourself of this. Have I been the receiver of it? Absolutely. Have I been the giver of it? To my shame, yes. So about 10 days or so ago, the staff and some of our leaders went to his conference, a global leadership summit, and one of the speakers, John Acuff, has written a book called Soundtracks, and he gave this whole talk, phenomenal talk, about basically what we hear and how we process that and what we say and all of that. And I came away with a simple, simple, simple thing. I want to help you with this getting rid of and say there's a filter you can use. Some of you have never used a filter in your life. Be it receiving or giving. Children have no filter and we see it as cute. Adults have no filter and we want to kill them. And everything in between. And he gives this simple practical thing which I believe when anointed by the Holy Spirit will help. And it was simply this. When I receive something, put a filter on. If somebody says something, put a filter. Here's the filter. Number one, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? That third one's the hard one. Is it true? The people go, yeah, it is true. You need to know this. It's true. But I've got to go through the filter and go, is it? Then is what they're saying true? Is it helpful? And how is that helpful? But is it kind? I think a lot of the time that is a pure description of learn from Jesus, live with Jesus, love like Jesus. And then when it comes to me saying something to somebody, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? Before you post something, is it true? Do the work. Is it helpful? Is it kind? Is it pointing people to Jesus so they want to learn his ways and love like him? Such a beautiful filter. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? And I'm going to say this. You cannot do this alone. This season of you guys getting connected in all different groups, that's the why. You can't process this on your own. Somebody else has to come, dude, that's not true. You believe in it, it's not true. Somebody else has to come and go, there's some truth in it, this is how it can help. Somebody else can, we need that. Now with that in mind, the word remove is absolutely intrinsically connected, rid yourselves, with the word repentance, which is a beautiful gift that we can have. to return to the Father who gives you a hug before he demands the bath. Repentance is you go back to receive the hug and then the cleansing to go again. We're going to give opportunity for that, but the beauty comes now in verse 2 and 3. So, I'm looking at the clock. Change gears, here we go. Verse 2 and 3. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. I receive, I know who I am and whose I am. I need to do some removing and ridding myself. But if I don't replace that, I'm done. I can go, I'm laying all this at the foot of the cross. All my envy and my malice and my slander, I'm laying it at the foot of the cross. There you go, I've let go of it. But I can still look at it. And now I've not got it, but I'm looking at it. I've got to replace it. I've got to replace it. I've got to fill that with something pure, spiritual milk. The original readers of this would have heard it different than we do. Because our concept of milk and their concept of milk is vastly different. I'm going to go to where they were to help to bring you to where we need to be. Okay, let me just talk about milk super simple. The reason he says like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk like a newborn baby. A newborn baby is just saying one thing, feed me. If the newborn baby could translate rah, rah, into words, it would be feed me, feed me, feed me. That's a newborn baby's need. Some of us never grow out of it, I know. But feed me, feed me, feed me. It's there, it's this craving. It's essential for life. It's an instinct to them, but like a newborn baby. He's not talking about immaturity. Like we hear Paul move on from milk and go to meat. He's not talking immaturity. He's talking posture of your soul. Do you know where the very source of life is? Crave that. Milk in those ancient days. Milk was known as the liquid of life, the liquid of eternity, the liquid of abundance, the liquid of fertility, the liquid of all things. Don't forget, even then they knew, and we know now, when a baby is born, for the many months ahead, all of nutrition and immunity and health to grow bones and muscles and brain development, everything is found in milk. What a liquid that must be. A baby gets everything it needs from milk to go from 7 pounds to everything's just in milk. All the goodness of life is just in this liquid. And so they would adapt and go, oh, milk, this is it. This is life bringing, life growing, life developing in every way. It was known as the food of the gods, small g. Even for the people who weren't following Jesus, the gods, the food of the gods is milk. It's the very life that we go from it. So Cleopatra, ancient Egypt, we know her story, and she was very drawn to beauty in herself. We know that Cleopatra would bathe in milk. She'd take baths in milk. It wasn't all milk. She'd have her water and cleanse, and then they'd add milk to it. And if you do your historical research, I honeymooned in Egypt. I did a lot of Egyptian stuff. So Cleopatra, in that, what she would do, it was said that she would add milk, and specifically her favorite was soured goat milk. So sour milk, so that you have sour cream with your tacos, but moving on. So you've got soured goat milk would be in the water, and here's why. They didn't even realize the science. Even to this day, there is known to be some lactic acid in all of that, and by bathing in it, it actually had not only cleansing properties, but unbelievable moisture-bringing, wrinkle-removing properties. Cleopatra would want to be as silky smooth and beautiful as she could be, so she would bathe in milk. She believed, if this can bring a baby and the life that can happen even in the mammal world, I want to bathe in it. The craving and connection to milk was clear. When the spies were sent out in to see what does the promised land look like in the Old Testament, they came back with a report, and the report was it was a land flowing with, not literally, obviously, that'd be weird. Some of you are lactose intolerant, that'd be a terrible place to live. You know, it'd be like, but the imagery, the language was key. So when Peter is saying to them, guys, crave pure spiritual milk, they were like, oh yeah, I'm ridding myself of that. But if I replace that with pure spiritual milk, I think I'll be transformed. I think I'll be transformed. That's transformation liquid. Also, why newborn babies? It said they were born again. A newborn baby doesn't just crave milk for the purpose of food. Here's something that's very significant. A baby craves mum. And although there may be a hunger issue, is being intrinsically closer than possible inside of mum for 9 months. And now he or she is not. And it craves protection and closeness and security and love and affection for it to decrease in its anxiety, for it to feel safe. And for many of us, we can't do that all the time, so we learn techniques of swaddling to make them feel somebody's got me. So the craving of a newborn baby is not just the content of the food, but the presence of love. A baby craves that. Studies have been done in babies and abandonment issues and all kinds of things. A context of love is key. So with that in mind, when Peter says, crave pure spiritual milk, what is that milk? Now, if you do the big Greek study, you'll see there's a root word that connects even to the word logos, the word word. And so theologians, some of them went, oh, so it's quite clearly what we need to crave is the word of God. Yes, and there's a big and that goes with this. Because understand the original context. Original context, they didn't have the Bible. There was no the Bible for 400 years. They didn't have the Bible. So how are these guys in Asia Minor? Oh, just crave the Bible. We don't have a Bible. So now, did they have some teachings of God? Yes, they had the Tanakh and some Old Testament teachings and some prophets. And then the Gospels, although not formally canonized, Peter was firsthand. He was with Jesus. So Peter's passing on the words of Jesus. So yes, the Word of God. There's some teachings. Absolutely, this is talking about the Word of God. We are blessed because we have it accessible to us 24/7. So yes, it is the Word of God, but it's not just the Word of God in the Scriptures. It is the Word of God in the Scriptures, but not just the Word of God in the Scriptures. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So craving pure spiritual milk is the Word of God, but it is the Word, and the Word has a name, and his name is Jesus. So therefore, craving pure spiritual milk is not just the words of Jesus, it's the presence of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. He said, guys, I'm going, but I'm sending an upgrade. I'm going to send to you the Counselor, the Comforter. Now, he's going to remind you of all the things that I've taught you, but you cannot crave pure spiritual milk and just think the Word of God is enough. The Holy Spirit is critical for even illuminating what those words of God are, for you to apply them into your life. It's critical. And so sometimes the Lord wants you just to crawl up onto his lap and allow him to love on you. And yes, he may whisper to you from his word. When you open your Bible, you're not opening it for information or knowledge. I open it to meet with someone. And so therefore, craving pure spiritual milk does include craving his word, but it includes craving him. His presence. Asking him, Lord, you said be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That means there's an ongoing. There's a get rid of, crave. Be being filled. And so I can't stress this enough. I'll confess this to you. At the start of my sabbatical, I had 5 books that I thought, I'm going to read all 5 books in 6 weeks. I can do that. If I get through 4, that's still an A. If I get through 3, still a pass. But we'll go from there. Don't worry about it. After 6 weeks, I had read 1 chapter of 1 book. Some of you are going, F, failed the class. I've never been more full. Because the words of Jesus that I was hearing from his word were causing me to sit and be still. And God said, Des, stop. Shut up. Learn. Listen. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you. And some of us need a craving of his presence, not once a week, but every day, to feel the beauty in worship and to engage him in prayer. Prayer is an exchange with the divine, to sometimes listen, more often listen, and ask. And I believe if we become a people more like that, we'll be less slanderous, less envious, less hypocritical, less deceitful, and less malicious. Because there's a people in this city who are craving for a fragrance of love that is divine, of love that is transformative in every way. So the reason we've got all these different groups starting is because some of us, in our physical diet, we sometimes have, basically, a deficiency. You get a test, I'm deficient in this mineral, this vitamin, this. You get a deficiency, so what do? You change your diet to help that, or you supplement it to help that diet. It's not a one-size-fits-all. So for you and your growing in Jesus, for some of you having been and you're still wrestling with grief, we do grief share because there's a deficiency in your soul with that. So let's help with that. For some of you, I don't fully understand the whole craving of Jesus and who is he and what is he in the Bible and the whole substance of Christianity. That's why we do Alpha. And Alpha's in languages all over the world, and it's providing that opportunity for people to see and to taste that the Lord is good. It's why we offer different things for women. It's why small groups are critical, because you grow when you share. You grow when you pass it on. We need one another with that. And it's the main drive of why I felt really compelled. Men, all ages, you're invited. Tuesday morning we start, but we start every week for you. There's no start point and end point of when you can come to my 6 a.m. group. It's called Into the Storm for a reason. I'm looking for a herd of bison. I'm looking for guys that when the storms of life are coming at us from every corner, we don't run, we don't hide, we don't retreat, we don't go in protection mode. We turn and we face it and we walk through it for the benefit of those behind. And we engage these situations. And I know I've got 30 plus years of life living in a complete different culture where how we went about those storms to me were instinct. A bison isn't told to turn into the storm, it's created to do that. And in Christ, we're called to embrace that adventure and to fight that battle. And so therefore, that's why I do that, and you're all invited. The qualification is you're a dude. That's it. You don't have to be a complete follower of Jesus. In fact, I would love it if some of you start inviting your work colleagues and your college friends who don't know Jesus to that, because we're going to talk life. We'll start at 6 and we finish when you have to go to work or go to class. But if you're not gone by 8, I'm closing the door. But I don't know what's going to happen from it. And if 5 guys show up, it's going to be awesome. If 500, stampede. It'd help me if you register for it, only because I know how to get ready. I'm not providing coffee and breakfast. I'm not that person. Bring your own. Like, bring your own, guys. Just like, get up, get coffee or tea or whatever it is you do. I'm not providing nothing. I'm not even putting chairs out. No, I'm serious. There'll be a stack of chairs. Pick your own up, sit down. I'm not getting here really early to set up for you. Like, you're a man. Pick up a chair. If you want to register for that, you go on our app. You go on our app. Digital bulletin, second thing you see is Into the Storm. You don't have to register. You can just show up. Okay? Anyway, I'll be here 6 a.m. every Tuesday until further notice. And who knows what's going to come from it. I know there's a bunch of young guys who need some aged buffalo who'll be bison and go, here we go. I know there's some young guys who are going, what is wrong with you? You're not old. Let's go again. And vice versa. I'm way over time for a change. Let me kind of land this, but we're not landing because we're moving. You need the Holy Spirit, guys. Craving pure spiritual milk. Holy Spirit, reading the Word of God. Listening. Worshiping. Moving into a storm. We get to come and drink this morning. Come and drink of His grace. Come and drink of His love and His mercy. Come and drink from His Word. Come and sit and drink from His presence. Come and crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow up. It literally means stronger, like a cedar in Lebanon. That's what it means. You may grow strong. And so this is how we're going to do this. Receive, remove, replace. Repeat is what you'll do. Receive, remove, replace. I'm going to ask, can all of our prayer partners and leaders come down front right now? Just come round down front, spread out down front. Prayer partners, leaders, come down front right now. All right, super quick, because I'm already late. Come down front right now. I'm going to say this. Your response is quite simply this today. You've got a one of three response. Well, you have four. Four is do nothing, so I'll take that. That's okay. But the one of three is this. For some of you, it's receive. And what I mean by that receive, it's back to chapter one. You need to receive afresh that God does love you and He gave His one and only Son to die for you. You need to receive again the reason and the purpose and the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. You need to receive the gift of salvation by grace through faith. You need to receive that afresh. So for some of you, it's receive. You need to receive the hug before you go for the bath. So for some of you, that will be your response. You come down to any of the prayer partners and you just say, I'm here to receive. And they'll pray with you. For some of you, it's remove. It's the rid yourselves. There's repentance to take place. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of malice and hypocrisy and deceit and envy and slander. And there's a wound there and you need to remove. Lord, remove the scars of it. Remove the scars of it. But for some of you, you know you've given that. You've been reacting with that and giving some of that. And so you need the Lord to come and say, you need to come and repent of that. And say, Lord, forgive me from that. So there's a remove prayer. Just come and just say, I've got some repentance to remove to do. And just allow our people just to pray with you in a time of repentance. And then for some of you, you're processing that. You're craving a fresh outpouring of His Holy Spirit in your life with the replace. You're asking the Lord to change your appetite so that you crave pure spiritual milk. You're asking Him to make it like a newborn baby. When you open His Word, it's like life. When you sit in His presence, it's life. So you come and you're asking for a replace prayer. Lord, would you come and would you fill me afresh? And you do, and that's important. Scriptures talk about that. It's a daily thing. And then when you leave here, you just each day repeat that. Receive, remove, replace. But that's important. So let me pray generally right now, and I'm going to ask you for, in fact, let's all stand. I'm going to ask you, for some of you, your response today is receive or remove or replace. You come down to a prayer partner. You can come if there's more than one of you want to go together with that for accountability. That's super cool. You come doing that. Our last song today is Jireh. And it really talks about that, like he is enough. Like he really is enough. He wants to hug you today. And then because of that hug, say, let's go for a bath and let's replace this. And by the way, the bath that you're bathing is milk, pure spiritual milk. King Jesus, give my life to you afresh today. For my brothers and my sisters in this space, would you give them the faith now to trust you and to ask to receive or remove or replace, that we may grow up in our salvation now that we have tasted that the Lord is good. In Jesus' name, amen.